Hi, everybody, and welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast, another bonus episode. We're going to talk about ROH from this past week. It will be a solo mission. Jack's not here to join us today. Not an ROH fan and not an empty arena wrestling fan, to say the least, so I'll be doing this one by myself. And this is taking a look at their 500th episode, which is part of a larger three-hour block. So all I'm going to talk about is the part that aired on broadcast television, and that is just their regular episode. So without any further ado, let's get into that now. So the show has sort of a unique start this week. Normally it's just straight into Quinn sitting at the desk going through a brief highlights from the week before and then talking about the matches coming up tonight. But this time we actually get a unique sort of hype video package. Pretty well done. It's going over sort of the evolution of Ring of Honor in general, and then more specifically focusing on their celebrating their 500th episode with this episode. So just something a little bit different for once to change up this program. But then it does go to Quinn sitting at her usual desk, and she does welcome us before running down the card for tonight's show. And that card will be, the main event will feature the Briscoe brothers battling each other yet again. But in the opener, we're going to get Jonathan Gresham defending his Pure Division Championship against his friend and tag team partner and faction mate, I guess, in the Foundation, and that is Jay Lethal. So Quinn then thanks the fans for their support through these 500 episodes, and this leads us directly into a promo from Jay Lethal. So Jay talks about how amazing it is for ROH to reach 500 episodes, and then he turns his attention to talking more specifically about his upcoming match with Jonathan Gresham. He says that when he learned he was fighting Gresham, he was conflicted. He's wrestled Gresham many times before, for sure, and each time he learns something about himself, and he loves being tested and getting better. But on the other hand, Gresham is unmatched at what he does, and Lethal could easily get injured. He then learned the match was for the Pure title, and he knew that he needed to come to the ring with everything he has to show the world what Pure Wrestling is about. He tells Gresham he loves him, says the Pure title will stay with the Foundation regardless of the outcome, and wishes Gresham luck. Hi, buddy. This was a solid but generic promo from Lethal. His delivery here was actually better than usual, because sometimes I find him, he doesn't sound very natural, so this was a little bit more natural. Didn't sound quite as much like he was putting on a character and a voice, which is one of my criticisms about Lethal from time to time, is that he doesn't feel sincere. He feels like he's putting on some sort of character. They made a choice to play some dramatic sounding music underneath his speaking, which I didn't think was great. I thought it was A, a little too loud, and B, was just trying a little bit too hard to make it feel like this is a really important dramatic thing. Then it's obviously Gresham's turn to speak, and he talks about Jay Lethal. He says that holding the Pure title means you're the best Pure wrestler in the world, and they have a responsibility to the fans and the locker room to always be the alternative and to always uphold honor. Lethal has done that 10 times over, and with or without the ROH belt, he is the best professional wrestler in the world, according to Gresham. He is proud to call Lethal his friend and to fight this war with him. They'll give the fans what they want one more time for the most prestigious prize in this company. This, again, was a fine, straightforward promo by Gresham. Neither of these guys, in my opinion, are amazing promos. They're great in the ring, but they sort of lack elsewhere. If I'm being honest, I'm not super excited for this match. These guys have been involved so many matches on the same side against each other, even just since I've started covering ROH again. It's hard for this to feel fresh. It's starting to sort of lose all meaning between these guys. There's some interesting choices, I thought, for this 500th episode on the show. Again, it's things we've seen a million times, Lethal versus Gresham, and even in the next match, which will be the Briscoe brothers. These are not fresh matchups to me. So a little bit skeptical about this episode, but anyways, it will go right into the match between Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. We are told here that the fans voted for this match, and this seems to be something that ROH has been doing lately, where they have a poll or something and allow fans input into matches. So this was the fans' choice, apparently. So the entire Foundation comes to the ring as well to support both competitors, as both of these guys are part of the same faction, part of the same tag team. Again, all of the reasons that this doesn't feel super fresh to me. We get tons of holds and counters to start this match. We get a repeated wrist lock at one point with just them reversing back and forth 6, 7, 8 times, probably to no advantage. We're honestly, I checked, that we're 8 minutes in and it's still basically on the mat looking for an advantage at this point, which I know for a lot of people that is something they want to see. It's not necessarily my favorite thing, but I'll talk about that in a little bit. The lethal combination is countered into a roll up for two at one point. We get a cutter by Lethal for a two count. Gresham has to use a rope break as Lethal transitions that cutter into a submission hold. We come back from a commercial. Lethal has Gresham in a Boston Crab, and Gresham has to use his second rope break. Lethal then calls for the lethal injection, and even the commentary team point out that this isn't probably the best idea when you're wrestling someone as good as Gresham, someone who can counter things and reverse things, that you're literally calling out the move you're going to go for. But Lethal thinks it's a good idea. He tries, but he can't complete the handspring part of this move as he's selling an injury from his arms that have been worked over so much to this point by Gresham. We then get a Mahi straw cradle countered into a crossface by Lethal. Eventually, we get Gresham using his final rope break here, and Lethal still has all of his, which is part of the story of this match, I guess. We get a bit more grappling before Gresham delivers a head scissors pinfall, which I'm not sure if I've seen before, so that's kind of cool, but he wins out of nowhere with this pinfall in just under 17 minutes. Sorry. The commentary team do point out here that there were no strikes in this match, and that Gresham has won each of his pure matches with a different move, which is sort of like Jack and I have talked about Walter, right? He's got several moves that he's finished matches with. So I do like that little detail about Gresham, that he kind of, you never know what he's going to win a match with, which is a pretty cool idea. If I'm being honest regarding this match, most of this wasn't really exciting for me. I want to like the pure style, and I was into the tournament, but now it's, for me personally, there's a lot of grappling, a lot of counters, a lot of stuff on the mat, which I'm fine with to start a match as long as that match is going to progress and build to what I would consider more professional wrestling at some point, where we get moves with impact and things rather than just sort of an amateur wrestling style or a really technical style. So this went about, honestly, about 10 minutes with only, I think I noted, a hip toss and a drop kick as quote what I would consider like professional wrestling moves, with the rest being holds and counters. I guess pure wrestling fans and fans of like MMA who sort of duck into wrestling will enjoy this technical display because they probably understand it more than I do and are really picking up all the nuance. But for me, after about 3 minutes of this, I'm ready for the pace to pick up and the impact to start to increase as well. I've simply seen these two guys, just to add to it, together as partners against each other, whatever, so much, even just since I've been doing this podcast and covering ROH closely, that this combination doesn't feel very fresh or special to me anymore. I'm sure that this was a technically strong match. It was, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it was enjoyable for everyone, and that would include me. It was just a lot of guys on the ground demonstrating their ability to counter and reverse things, which is great, but again, I don't want that being, you know, 75-80% of the match for me personally. So while I can understand that this was quite a technical display, I can't say that I particularly enjoyed it. So we come back from a commercial break with a very brief highlight from ROH's past, where the Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team retained their tag team titles. Couldn't even tell, there was no context or anything given. It was just sort of them being announced as winners and still tag team champions. So just a quick little recap of some history there. Then we go into the main event, which is the Briscoe Brothers, Mark versus Jay. No promos here. There's almost always a promo by each competitor before the match, but they did have that chance to speak in the previous episode, so I guess just to get more match time here, we went straight into the match, which is fine by me. And no offense to the Briscoes, but is this the best main event possible, is what I'm asking, for your company's 500th episode? Again, no champions, really. The pure champions here, but nobody else is here. The main factions on your program are not included on this episode. Some interesting choices. So for their main event of the 500th episode, they have decided to go with the Briscoe Brothers facing each other. I am, however, willing to bet that these guys will offer a very different style match from the opener that I just sort of complained about. It isn't exactly, as I said, the freshest matchup either. These two have faced each other so many times. It does start off with some holds and counters, but then we do quickly sort of evolve into some chops and kicks, so we're not at risk of a 12-minute grappling on the mat match for this one. Mark at one point gets booted off the apron to the floor. Jay jumps onto him from the apron. We then get what's called the Cactus Elbow Drop by Mark to the floor, sort of an homage to Cactus Jack, that running off the apron, diving to the floor to land an elbow to someone on the floor. We then get a top rope move similar to what I would call Archer's Blackout by Mark Briscoe for a two count. We get a Uranagi by Mark for a two count. Mark was on the offensive for a good chunk of this match, I would say, maybe the majority of the middle section of this match. We get a strike exchange on the apron, leading to a blockbuster from the apron to the floor by Mark. Mark then grabs a chair to bring into the ring while telling the referee that he's not going to use it as a weapon. So I guess that makes it legal if you just set it up and knock somebody into it. Suddenly it's not a weapon, but if you swing it as a weapon, it is. But anyways, I guess that's a loophole he's found. We get a Spicoli driver on a chair by Jay. So Mark brings the chair in, sets it up, but ends up being the one to be hit with it as he is. It's like basically a Death Valley driver onto the chair, followed by a neck breaker from Jay for a two count as we head into commercial. It's actually a nice combination by Jay there. We come back to a slap exchange and a Jay driller attempted by Jay but escaped by Mark into a DVD. A Death Valley driver. Mark goes up top and hits his Froggy Bow, which has kind of been his finisher, for a two count. The Jay driller by Jay for a near fall now as commentary team goes nuts because the Jay driller is usually something that's going to pin somebody. It is a cool move. Josh Alexander started using it on Impact Wrestling and I'm a big fan. It's basically a double underhook pile driver, I guess, kind of thing. And when it's executed well, it looks awesome. So then there is a second Jay driller by Mark, and Mark rolls to the floor because there's no way you're kicking out a two Jay driller. So just obviously his ring awareness and experience thing kind of coming into play there as he rolls to the floor after a second Jay driller. Jay then gets a table ready at ringside before delivering a boot to his brother. Mark ends up sort of flapjacking Jay onto the barricade, and then he takes control of the table and he moves it into position where he wants it. And we get a Froggy Bow from the apron through the table to Jay, and both men are down outside. And this is the point where I've really noticed a lack of crowd and any sort of crowd noise. They're not putting in anything. Impact, I think, is doing the best job of putting in some light crowd sounds, even though the arena is empty. WWE's obviously gone, in my opinion, too far with the virtual crowd and sort of pumping in whatever chants and cheers they want. They're basically in control at this point. So ROH has done nothing. It is literally a silent arena. There's no other wrestlers by ringside or anything. So at this point in the match, it's really noticeable because this was just a pretty cool spot of a running elbow drop. It's basically the kind of like a cactus elbow again, but now through a table with no reaction from anyone. So that was kind of interesting. Anyways, both men are down. Ring of Honor does a 20 count. So the count is happening. And as the count is getting closer, Mark dives into the ring at the 19 count, and Jay can't make it back in at all. So Mark Briscoe wins this competitive match by a countout. I thought this was a really good match, but it suffers slightly for me because, again, it's not fresh, right? The hatred between these two isn't here this time, that at this point in the story. There were some issues a while back because, and forgive me, I get the Briscoes confused. One of them was going off to have a feud with EC3, and the other one was then left, I think Jay was, and then Mark was left to have a tag team, but he needed a different partner since his brother was busy, so he partnered with PCO briefly, and I guess there's some lingering tension from there, but nothing really extreme. And honestly, last week we were basically told that their dad told them they need to have this match before going back to becoming a team, because there's been some mild tension between them that they need to get through whatever's going on with them before they can team again. So it wasn't quite a bitter blood feud. It was a really good match, but again, if there were some stakes, if there were some stronger story behind it, if there was a crowd there, I think it would have been even better. But I did enjoy this match considerably more than the opener for sure. A solid match, but again, nothing fresh here. So overall, this show, for me, it's been 3 weeks now of TV without any mention of anything, basically, from they had a major pay-per-view 3 weeks ago, their 19th anniversary show. This is now the third week since that show, and there's been no connection to that show really whatsoever. No mention of the ROH champion Roosh, the tag team champions in LFI, the company's most dominant faction, which is LFI, the newly assembled faction that's going to battle LFI, which is whatever Brody King's group is. None of this has been on a show for 3 weeks. So we're coming up on a month where you've talked basically about nothing from a pay-per-view that you tried to tell us was a very important thing. So I'm struggling with some of their organization, and I'm sure a lot of this depends on how they film things and when things are filmed and stuff like that. I'm sure they're sort of at the mercy of that, and I know they are very, very vigilant about COVID restrictions in ROH, more so than possibly anywhere else, so that may be affecting it as well. But the fact of the matter that it is affecting it, it kind of feels like we're in a holding pattern TV the last 3 weeks where here's some matches we'll throw at you that aren't really involved in any larger storylines or anything else. Here's some young up and coming guys, or here's some veterans that are facing each other for the 1,000th time without really progressing anything new. So I wish this would end and we can get back to dealing with the main event talent on the weekly show, because I'm starting to get a little bit frustrated with the lack of I guess, talent, the lack of star power would be better, on the most recent episodes of this show. And I know they're going to say that Gresham and Lethal and the Briscoes are stars, and they are, but they're not. You've got Roosh and LFI that are basically dominating this company and just running roughshod over everybody, and there's been no mention of them for 3 weeks now. So it's just starting to get a little bit frustrating for me. I'm losing a little bit of interest, if I'm being totally honest, in the product, because we are approaching basically a month of TV without any of the major players that I really am interested in seeing. I love Dragon Lee. I love Bandito, who we did get last week. But again, these are all the people that I'm really not seeing. No Brody King, no Roosh, no LFI. So a lot of star power is really lacking. I'm starting to wonder when exactly it's going to get back into like a normal, the weekly show is, you know, producing storylines and advancing storylines. So I'm waiting for that to come back. So overall, I struggle to rate this show because, again, I'm getting disappointed with the choices they're making to some degree. And again, even the choices of these two matches on your 500th episode, I guess the plan was to go with wrestlers who really do represent Ring of Honor and who have been there for the long haul and have done a lot of things. And that's definitely true of the four guys they put on this show. Just again, I'm repeating myself, I know, not the freshest matchups, not the biggest stakes, not the biggest build and animosity and whatever to these feuds. So yeah, you got a variety of matches. You got a technical match and then a less so technical match, and both of them were probably good. I didn't really enjoy the opener, but that's a personal preference for me. So I'm gonna say this show, going to give it a C+. My instincts are the B range, but I've been giving them Bs consistently and they're still doing the same thing. So I feel like at this point they need to step it up, or I'm just going to start, as my interest wanes, the grade's probably going to wane too. I need something new and exciting and interesting to sort of reinvigorate me and get my interest back in this show. So hopefully that will come soon. So that brings me to the end of that review. Just a quick little one I wanted to get out there on a Monday. So hopefully you enjoy it. If you are new to listening to me or us, it's usually myself and my son. We do a, we call our flagship show on Saturdays, where we cover always AEW Dynamite, NXT, Impact Wrestling, and usually ROH is on there too, unless I do a solo mission like this, just to save me a little bit of time later in the week, because I just watched this and it's fresh in my mind. If you would like to contact myself or my son, that would be amazing. fnswrestling@gmail.com is our email. That comes directly to me. I always respond. I try and respond quickly. You can also reach us on Instagram at @FNS_wrestling_podcast. That one will go to my teenage son, who generally co-hosts with me, but he'll show me anything that comes through. As well, some people leave comments for us on YouTube. That's fine as well. I will get back to those really quickly. Generally, any feedback is welcome. Positive, constructive criticism, all of that, right? So yeah, hopefully you enjoyed this solo mission. And I look forward to seeing everybody back here on Saturday for, I believe we are at episode 40 of our flagship show. Jack will be back for that to talk about all the stuff we normally talk about. Again, as always, if you've taken any time out of your week to listen to this podcast talk about wrestling from the basement, in my home, in the middle of a lockdown, I really appreciate it. And until I see you and hear from you guys on Saturday, I hope everybody is safe and take care.